Good morning. Hey, we're going to be in John chapter 6 this morning. So good to be in the house today. John chapter 6, I'm going to be starting in verse 35, actually, and making our way all the way to verse 59. This is going to be a fun read. Let's lean in. Let's lean into what God's going to say through his word today. I believe he has a very special word for us and excited to dive in here. Let's read John chapter 6, starting in verse 35. Let's pay attention. We got a lot of verses we're about to read. So if I start seeing some droopy eyes, I may up on my volume if I need to. I won't know though, because I'm reading. John 6, 35. I am the bread of life. Jesus told them, no one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. But as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Therefore the Jews started grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has listened to and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly I tell you, anyone who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that anyone may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. At that, the Jews argued among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Because my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the manna your ancestors ate and they died. The one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Lord, we're grateful for your word. Truly grateful for your word. Grateful that you sent Jesus, the true bread of life. Lord, our prayer this morning, my prayer this morning, is for the ones in the room who have not taken and received and consumed this bread of life, who aren't secure with you. Would you speak to those individuals today who are believing that someone's going to go from death to life today? We need you this morning. Please speak, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Every Wednesday, most Wednesdays, I am at Starbucks, Beal Bucks is what I call it. That's an Amber Alert, and that's not funny, Joe. And that's not to make light of that at all, and I know you're not either, and we certainly do pray that whatever's going on there would be Figure it out, Lord. We're trusting you with that. So I go to the Beal Bucks almost every single Wednesday, have some fun with some brothers, 6:30 every Wednesday. If you're a man in the house, we welcome you there. It's amazing. There's some fun banter. We talk things of God. Look, sometimes we don't even talk about God at all, believe it or not. I mean, it's kind of all over the place. But this past Wednesday, we actually had a really good conversation about God and the things of God. Specifically, we had a little bit of a conversation about progressive sanctification. Hello. That is the process of becoming more holy, the process of becoming more like Christ. And here's what we landed on, that nobody can really do anything that's going to make us more holy. That is a complete work of God. That means you can't read your Bible enough. You can't go to church enough. If God's not doing a work in you, then you're not going to grow in holiness. It's all a complete work of God, and that is what we landed on. Now, to not minimize the importance of pursuing a righteous life, we know in 1 Peter chapter 1 that Peter calls us to be holy as God is holy, right? Amen to that. And he's calling us to a holy conduct. So we don't want to minimize the importance of reading our Bible, pursuing Christ, living a righteous life. But he also says something else in 1 Peter chapter 2. If you flip with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10, look at what Peter writes. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Catch this. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy, aka, yes, we pursue holy conduct, but Peter is reminding us, God's reminding us today that the holiness comes from God. We cannot become a Christian on our own. We don't gift ourselves salvation. That is a work of God. What separates our religion, Christianity, from all other religions is how we become holy, how we enter into this saving relationship with God, how we make it into heaven. And that is we actually approach God like a child receiving his blessing. We approach God with humility. We approach God with helplessness. Lord, we need you. Help us. We're broken. We're sinners. All these other religions, do. Ours, we can't do nothing. We need God to do the work in us. This is really important for our message today because there's a lot of encouragement with what Jesus is telling the Jews. Some positive things, some comfort sprinkled in. But then towards the end, I don't know if you caught in the text. Don't worry, because we're going to hit it here in a second. I don't know if you caught in the text. Jesus also says, but there is some partaking. I'm extending something to you. There is some partaking you need to do to become holy, to become a child of the King. Here's our big idea for today. No bread of life, no eternal life. Now, I've written that so that you can walk out of here saying that. Can we say it together? No bread of life. Yeah, there we go. And here's what we're saying. If you don't take and receive the bread of life, you are not going. We got to amen to that. See, children are hearing that too. If you don't take and receive the bread of life, you are not going to experience eternal life. You got to receive it. Here's our first point for the day. Jesus, can we put that up? Jesus will never let you go. Jesus will never let you go. Now, Jesus is talking to a little bit of a different Jewish audience than what we had earlier in the text, but we see the same sort of things happening. Jesus is doing mighty acts. He multiplied bread for crying out loud. That's amazing, right? No, y'all haven't experienced that. He did it, and these Jews are enamored by it. This is amazing, but just like we've seen throughout the Gospel of John, they are wanting to crown Jesus as king. They are wanting to follow Jesus for his mighty acts. They're just wanting to receive. They're missing the power and the significance behind this bread that has been produced. This is a problem we see throughout the Gospel of John. And really today in our world today, they're missing the importance behind it. JR last week talked about how we must be careful from missing God's activity in our lives. Y'all remember that point? Don't miss God's activity in your life. Very important point. And kind of what he pointed to is, man, he's saving people. He's working miracles. He's healing people through the miracle of medicine. There's healing happening. God's doing a work. He's working in your life right now. We all love that song. Even when I don't feel it, you're... Yeah, we love that. We love it. He is always working. We must be careful not to miss it. I saw a little short film, like a minute and a half on YouTube. You've probably seen it. Husband and wife, or these two people cohabiting together in a home. This lady's telling the guy she's living with, she's like, I'm so stressed. Life's so hard. And he looked, you've probably seen, he looks at her and he's like, it's going to be okay. And she looks at him like he's crazy. And you know what she says? Or you know what he says? He says, there's this magic basket. And I have discovered that no matter what dirty clothes I put in this basket, the next day, they're clean and they're stacked on the bed. She's like, you have got to be kidding me. No, I'm not. He's like, this is real. And then he goes on to say, he's like, and I wasn't going to share this with you, but I will. There's this coffee table. And he's like, you know, I kid you not, no matter what I put on this coffee table, pizza boxes, trash, the next day, it's vanished. So I can assure you, it's going to be okay. Now, the punchline is obviously this wife, this lady in the house, has been doing all the work, and it's going completely over his head. But the point for us today is God is doing an amazing work in your life this week. He's probably done something amazing, and we don't want to miss God's redemptive activity. Now, what I love about Jesus isn't thrown off at all that people aren't catching on to his ministry, okay? His confidence is not resting in the response of man. So he's not looking at this, you know, we're six chapters into John, and he's not like, man, I have done the wine thing, which was cool. I made a man walk, that's cool. He's had a lot of other, I did bread, I've made a bunch of bread and fish, that's amazing. They're not getting it. All right, I'm done, I'm out. Jesus's confidence isn't resting in the response of man. Who's it resting in? The Father. And he's confident that this redemptive activity he's been put on this planet for, it's going to come to fruition. Now, that's a word for us that we'll just step out of the message real quick. That's a word for all of us. We're all called to evangelize. We're all called to make much of the gospel. Do not base your confidence of your gospel witness in the response of man. Just because nobody's responding to you being bold with the gospel doesn't mean you just shut it all down. No, you rest your confidence in God, trusting that he's going to use that to bring people to himself. And that's what Jesus points to. In fact, if you look at John chapter 6, verse 37, he reminds these Jews, everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. So what a reminder to all of us, we can't save ourselves. We aren't naturally going to be inclined to follow Jesus. That's not going to happen. And so that's a big reminder for all of us. It's all a divine work of God. So remember that in your gospel witness. But then we got some comfort here, and this is a big part of the text. Look at what he says in verse 39. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. That is an encouraging word. Those who have been found in Christ, he has a tight grip on you, and he will lose none of you. No matter what you do, don't miss what God's saying this morning. Your assurance of your salvation is not resting in how tightly you are gripping on to Jesus. It's all about his grip on you. Remember that, because we kind of flip it. Some of you want to be careful how we word this, but you have a death grip on this here. And this is powerful. I don't want to minimize the reading of the Word of God. This is the holy Word of God. So let's not minimize this. Let's not minimize prayer. Let's not minimize pursuing a holy life. Let's not minimize any of that. But some of you are living life with this death grip on the Bible, on going to church, on pursuing a holy life, thinking one little misstep, oh, it's all falling apart. It's done. It's over. You miss a Bible reading plan one day, and you're living like petrified. I can't let go of this. No, we want to be, I like this death grip. Okay, it's more here. It's more, I'm in the Word out of my deep love for the Father. That's why I'm in the Word. I believe there's something to this. I believe there's something to pursuing a holy life and a righteous life, but it's my love for the Father that's driving me to the Word. It's not my fear that He'll let me go that's driving me to the Word. He is not going to lose you. Praise God, He's not going to lose you. So that's point one. Jesus will never let you go. Can we get an amen to that? Again, we're not making too much. We don't want to minimize getting in the Word. I'm a firm believer on getting in the Word each day. Prayer and intimacy with the Father. It's breath to my lungs, and I know it's breath for many of you today. Let's not minimize it, but let's not also have our, if I miss a day, I'm done. Praise God, you didn't earn your own salvation. Amen. Secondly, Jesus alone can fully satisfy you. Jesus alone can fully satisfy you. Now the, what was that? We're getting a subwoofer. It was doing that. That was what it was doing when I was on vacation. Yeah, now I believe it's actually happening. I heard about this and we could never reproduce the sound. Wow. What's happening in the text now is these Jews, they are grumbling. They're kind of talking among themselves. How can Jesus be making these claims that he is this bread from heaven? So that's their big discussion. How can this guy be making these claims that he is this bread from heaven? And they actually go a little bit further. They're kind of like, we know where you came from. We know your mom was Mary. We know your dad was Joseph. We see that in verse 42. They were saying, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? So they're like, dude, we know your dad. We know your dad's Joseph. Now, the whole idea of the virgin birth completely going over their head. They're really ignorant in this moment, claiming they know Jesus. But their side of it is like, we know where you're from. So how, and now, I don't know if you caught on, when I read through John chapter 6, it's like Jesus gets more and more confusing. You know, it's like he the way he's landing the plane, it's like, it is wild. But they're like, this doesn't make any sense. Now, Jesus then immediately responds to them, stop grumbling. And when I picture Jesus saying, stop grumbling, it's like when the really nice guy in the room takes a serious tone and it gets kind of awkward. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's like, he's not usually that serious. He's like, stop grumbling. And the reason he's saying stop grumbling is because it's not only insulting to Jesus for them to be saying what they're saying, it's dangerous for them to be attempting to, with human reasoning, figure out who Jesus is. And he tells them, ultimately, again, you can't figure this out on your own. You need divine intervention in your life. In our text, we won't go back to it, but he quotes from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 54:13. Where in there, there's a prophecy that taught God was going to teach man. God was going to put it on their hearts for them to come to an understanding of who Jesus is. So he says, stop your grumbling. We got to cut this out. And then Jesus leans into this manna from heaven. Originally, he had just created the bread, so it's inevitable. JR even referenced last week that this whole bread deal was going to remind them of what God's provision of the manna from heaven. in Exodus. So this, the wilderness wanderings, all those things are on their minds right now. So Jesus starts leaning into that. And what we know about that story, what we know about the story in John chapter 6 is people are hungry. We physically get hungry. And we saw what happened when the manna was provided from heaven. These Jews, they're Israel, they're wandering around the wilderness. They're complaining, they're grumbling. And then God provides the manna. And what do? They take it and eat it and they consume it. And it does sustain their physical life. But what Jesus says multiple times to the Jews is this manna from heaven, these people who consumed it, they still eventually died. So he's kind of going back and forth between physical life and spiritual life, and he's trying to help his audience see that you need so much more than the bread that I've been providing you. And we all have this hunger in us too. We can relate with the hunger they have too. We can relate with thinking we need more and more and more to satisfy our souls. Some of you, this is your life. You are doing all you can, living life to put food on the table. And you're thinking like, if I can just get enough food on the table, that's going to satisfy me. You're working hard. You're crushing it. You're grinding it out to go on the next big vacation, to buy the next big toy, to buy the new thing, to save for retirement, save for... You're investing so much time and energy towards all these things that we're seeing in the text that it will eventually, it can't fully satisfy you. It's only Jesus who can truly satisfy you. Jesus throws another little word in here in verse 51. He says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So he's pointing out this bread on planet Earth, these things that we pursue, we want more, 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 more. They cannot satisfy. Only Jesus can truly satisfy our souls. C.S. Lewis, and I'm going to butcher the quote, but you've probably heard the quote where he said, there's not a big enough cup for tea. Y'all heard that? There's no cup of tea which is large enough, and there's no book which is long enough. And essentially, there's not enough tea in the world. There's not a long enough book, which some of you are like, books, like what a weird quote. But the point is nothing ever, all these things on planet Earth, they won't satisfy you. I experienced something this week. I was watching YouTube, this golfer, and he and Phil Mickelson were playing golf on YouTube. And Phil Mickelson, incredible golfer, all the majors he's won other than the U.S. Open. He has this wellness company. Now, these are gummies, and these are not the type of gummies that you may be thinking, okay? These are recovery gummies. Again, you're like, what is in that? They just order these online. But here's what they say they'll do. I bought into this, okay? I was watching this Sunday night. They put some 50% off discount code, so this was $13 for this thing. Like, and who would pay $25 for this? But I was all in. Recovery gummies. Who doesn't need recovery? Listen to what they do. Supports rapid muscle recovery. Who doesn't want that? You know, sign me up. They have electrolytes. It's made with whole U.S. grown tart cherries, not juice. And it says take 2 to 3 delicious gummies during or after exercise or any time. So, which I thought, like, so you can just snack on them, which I have, for an energy boost and recovery support. I have been snacking on these this week. I'm just going to tell you, I was telling Pastor Chris early in the office. You liked it, right? It's yummy. And here's what they look like. I'll show you one. Does anybody want to try one? Joe? KC? You want to try one? You might want to have your football players try that. Yeah, tell us. Yeah. The problem is, yeah. And I'm just, they did absolutely nothing. Like this, I literally should have just bought a $5 bag of sour gummy worms. Taste would taste better. And I'm telling you, more energy. But this is what we do. We're always searching, always wanting more and more. You know, how can I get bigger muscles and recover strong? And we buy into this lie of the enemy. And look, I love Phil Mickelson. And if he's ever watching this, please Don't view me any differently, Phil. Please, I support you. I don't like what he did with Live Golf, but that's another topic. But what we discover is even more, it's never enough. It never fills. And what Jesus is trying to press into these Jews is he alone is the only one who can fully satisfy our souls. Only Jesus. And you know what I'm talking about. By and by. Never satisfies. Jesus alone can fully satisfy. Number three is the most important point. Jesus is inviting you to partake in him. Jesus invites you to partake in him. Let's look in John 6, 53 and 54. So Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So Jesus is continuing with this bread from heaven discourse, but he obviously takes a very provocative turn here, eating his flesh, drinking his blood. And this is where I find it a little bit comical when I read through it, because they're already confused, already grumbling, and it's like Jesus just keeps going further into this confusion, eating his flesh and drinking his blood. You need to put yourself in the Jews' shoes here for a second. Consuming blood was a big no-no. They probably are thinking about Genesis 9:4. There's a prohibition about consuming blood. So this is like, what are you talking about, Jesus? And again, there's some debate still happening between the Jews. In fact, when you read about it, it's almost like some are like, is he being figurative in here? Is he literally saying, like, we're going to eat his flesh? We're going to drink his blood? There's a lot of back and forth. It's confusing. But what Jesus is clearly conveying to them is there has to be a moment where you actually internalize ultimately his death, his burial, his atoning sacrifice, the resurrection. There has to be a moment where you consume it, where you stake your life on it. You can't just show up to the party. He sends you a wedding invitation. You can't just show up. You have to partake. Think about if we've all had a long, hot day working in the yard. It's hot. It's like 100 degrees. You're dying out there. Come inside. Wonderful meal on the table. You sit down. You're hungry. You haven't eaten all day. You're hungry. You sit down. What do? You eat your recovery gummies. Amen to that. Who needs a meal? You eat it. You eat the meal. Like, we consume it. You don't just sit there and talk about it. Oh, Kelly, this is amazing. Like that broccoli, the nutrition behind that broccoli, thank you. You know I love broccoli and the green beans and, ooh, you know I love this. Ooh, I love a good turkey burger. Like, thank you, Kelly, this is amazing. You don't just stare at it. You eat it. Why do you eat it? Because you know if you don't eat it, it does absolutely nothing for you. Nothing. Just staring at it, that ain't doing nothing for you. You eat it. You consume it. You don't just talk about it. You partake. And the same goes for this bread from heaven. The same goes for the life that Jesus is extending to you. You don't just show up to church each week and sit there or pray or read your Bible. Like, you have to actually receive and intake and consume. Again, believe, stake your life on Jesus. That's what he's trying to get across to the Jews. It's not about the bread. It's not about the miracles. It's that you need me. And that manna from heaven, that was a foretelling of who I am. God sent bread. It didn't appear on a ground. Bread appeared in a manger. And I'm on a mission to save you. We have to take and receive. And there's some of you in the room today. You are just sitting on the sideline. You're talking the church talk. And you've got a lot of people convinced, but you know deep down, you've never truly received the bread from heaven. But when you do, it will satisfy you. I can promise you that. No bread of life, no eternal life. Some of you need that bread from heaven today. I want to encourage you, if that's you in the house, please come and talk to me or someone else from our prayer team will be down here. Got some others who'd love to talk to you. Anyone on the front row, they'd love to share with you more about what it means to follow Jesus. But do not walk out of this room. If you're knowing, man, I have never received, I've never consumed, talk to someone. Come talk to me. We'd love to walk you through a little bit more about what it means to take and receive and consume this bread from heaven. Lord, we thank you for this word. What a word from you. Lord, I'm so grateful that salvation, you don't put that in our hands. This saving activity, this preserving our salvation, it's not in our hands. It's entirely in yours. So I thank you for the comfort that you'll never let us go. Somebody in the room just needed to hear that and be reminded of your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness, your saving power, that you did it all. You do call us to holy conduct, yes. But once in your warm embrace, you will never let us go. Thank you. Thank you. God, we pray for the ones who have not received this bread from heaven. They have yet to receive Jesus. Would you speak to them right now? Would you give them the faith to just step out and tell somebody, I need Jesus. Move, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, you can go ahead and stand up. One last song of worship. If you need to talk to someone, please come and talk to someone. You can talk to me after the gathering today. Would love to talk to you more about what it means to follow Jesus. If you just want to come down and pray, come down and pray. But let's continue on in our worship.